another important component of the brain are the ventricles. And as I mentioned earlier, and I'm going to repeat now, the brain tissue is not in direct contact with the blood, except for some parts of the hypothalamus. And the reason for that is that the brain tissue is very sensitive and prone to injury. And the blood contains high levels of hormones. It can contain toxins, drugs, variety of byproducts of digestion and so on, which can be damaging to the brain. So the brain is surrounded by cerebrospinal fluid instead of by blood. And the nutrients that are needed by the brain are transferred from the blood to the cerebrospinal fluid, along with the oxygen that's required. And the waste products from the brain are transported into the cerebrospinal fluid and then back to the blood. So the cerebrospinal fluid is going to form sort of a barrier between the brain and the spinal cord tissues and the blood. And we've talked already about how the cerebrospinal fluid is surrounding the spinal cord. It's also traveling up through the central canal. And the cerebrospinal fluid is also going to surround the brain. So the brain is actually floating in cerebrospinal fluid. But the brain is fairly large and thick, and the nutrients and the oxygen can't dissolve easily from the cerebrospinal fluid on the outside of the brain to the deeper parts of the brain. So what happens is the brain has empty spaces within it. They're not empty, they're fluid-filled spaces within it that are called the ventricles, and these contain cerebrospinal fluid. And these help to bring those nutrients and the oxygen and so on to the deeper parts of the brain. There's a very good picture of these in the diagram called the ventricles of the brain. From the side, you can see they're kind of strange looking. They almost look like a spaceship or something inside your brain. From the front, if you look at them from the front, they've always reminded me of horns on a bighorn sheep. But it kind of gives you an idea of where these ventricles are. And I'm going to go over what the ventricles are called. The lateral ventricles are the two ventricles that go into each of the hemispheres of the brain. They're the ones that look like the sheep horns from the front. They look slightly different from the side. There's an interventricular foramen, which is a passageway from the lateral ventricles into what's called the third ventricle. And the third ventricle is going to be located right in between the two lateral ventricles. And the other way to know where the third ventricle is that it's located in between the two lobes of the thalamus. And so if you go back to the picture of the thalamus, it's a diagram called the diencephalon and brainstem, you'll see that there's a gap between the two lobes of the thalamus, and in between that space is the third ventricle. It's filled with fluid, cerebrospinal fluid. From the third ventricle, there's a passageway. It's called the cerebral aqueduct. It's also called the mesencephalic aqueduct. You hear both terms, so unfortunately you're going to have to learn both terms. And what that does is it brings cerebrospinal fluid from the third ventricle to the fourth ventricle. And the fourth ventricle is going to be located between the cerebellum and the brain stem itself. And so I'm not sure if fourth ventricle is listed on your lecture outline, but you do want to point out that the fourth ventricle is going to be located between the cerebellum and the brain stem itself. And again, cerebrospinal fluid is continually circulating. It travels through the subarachnoid space, or the space between the arachnoid mater and the pia mater. And it's going to travel through the subarachnoid space, through the ventricles, through the central canal of the spinal cord. And it's constantly circulating, and it's constantly being replaced. Your body is constantly making cerebrospinal fluid to replace the cerebrospinal fluid that slowly does leak out of the meninges.